The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The message this morning is based upon the text which you just heard and a number of verses from the 15th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, which read as follows. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me on my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. In the name of Jesus, my dear Christian friends, the scriptures which you just have heard and which were read to you were by two prophets who were contemporaries. If you were to examine their rather lengthy books, you would find that they had many themes in common. Their first major purpose was to bring the children of Judah, those of the southern kingdom, to realize that if they continued in their wicked ways, that God would punish them, and they told that this was going to be the case. And then we also find in certain portions of their inspired writings words of comfort and assurance about the future. In lifestyle, we might say that Ezekiel and Jeremiah were somewhat different. Ezekiel was married, and his wife died the very day the siege of Jerusalem began in the year 588 BC, while the prophet Jeremiah was not married and was told by God, in view of conditions which were going to develop, it would not be advisable for him to become married. Ezekiel began his prophetic activity in exile in the year 592 and continued preaching until the year 571, while the prophet Jeremiah began somewhat earlier in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, 626, and preached down to the fall of Jerusalem in 587, and thereafter he was taken by Jews forcibly to Egypt, where, according to one tradition, he is supposed to have been murdered. According to another tradition, he is supposed to have eventually been taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, where he supposedly wrote the two book of Kings. This week, it would seem to me that the readings which I have selected are of a special value and have a special message for those who are about to become pastors, those who are planning in the next few years to enter the ministry, and to those who already have been active in the pastoral ministry. This morning, I would like to briefly make a comparison between the Old Testament prophetic office and the New Testament ministry. We will notice that there are certain similarities and that there are certain dissimilarities relative to these two God-appointed offices. One sometimes hears the expression with regard to the pastoral and New Testament ministry that it is called a prophetic ministry. Now, in one sense, that of course is true, In other sense, it is not true. A prophet was a person who received a direct call from God. In the case of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, we actually have a record of the manner, which was different in each case as to how God called these men to be prophets. We also have a record in the Pentateuch as to how Moses was called to be a prophet. We also have a statement in the seventh chapter of the book of Amos as to how this prophet of God was called. And so we can say that a prophet in the Old Testament was an individual who always received a direct call from God. There are people who plan to enter the ministry or who have entered the ministry that they have had a direct call from God. The usual position which is held by us in the Lutheran Church is that for a person to serve as a pastor to a congregation, he should have a call, and so therefore we would say that while a prophet is called directly, a pastor is called indirectly through a congregation. The story is told of a certain layman who went to his pastor and he says, "Pastor, I had a vision, and this vision I was told that I was supposed to go and preach because I saw in the heavens the letters, large letters, PC, preach Christ." The pastor thought for a moment and he said to this individual who happened to be a farmer, maybe you were being told plant corn, because it has been established many times that people who thought that they had a direct call from God ultimately were shown that they were really substituting their own wishes for what they thought was a call from God, because as time went on, they came to realize that they were not qualified for the pastoral ministry. The prophets of the Old Testament also would receive direct revelations from God. That is, of course, one of the distinctive features of the prophetic writings. That does not mean, of course, that the prophets did not use the word of God. We can see that many of their evaluations are based upon the laws of God as they are found in the Pentateuch. There is also evidence in a number of the prophetic books that they had a knowledge of previous writings which must have been available to them. But the fact is that with regard to the future, with regard to especially the establishment of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, with regard to the coming of Christ, they received direct revelations from God. And in that sense, we can say that a pastor does not receive direct revelations from God. This, of course, has been a problem with the charismatic pastors. We have individuals whom you can hear on the television media who are constantly making the claim, "I had a revelation from God. God told me to do this." You and I and those who are in the pastoral ministry are limited to the revelations which are now in a written, in an inscripturated form in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Now, we might say in one respect that we have a sort of advantage over the prophets of the Old Testament because they were still living in the time of waiting. They were still looking forward to the great events which we now know are associated with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, resurrection, ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We now have the complete counsel of God in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And so in that respect, we have an advantage over the prophets of the Old Testament who still were a part of the movement of God's preparatory revelations. One of the great theologians of the 20th century, so at least some of the great historians claim, was Karl Barth. Now, Karl Barth made a very clean break with what we call theological liberalism, and theological liberalism had always rejected the idea that there is any kind of revelation taking place from God to man. Barth opposed that idea, and Barth said that God has given and does give revelation in three different ways. First of all, to the living word, which of course is Jesus Christ. Secondly, through the scriptures, which contains a record of people who have had revelations, but he would not identify the Bible with the inerrant word of God. And finally, he said, through the sermon. Now, I'm interested especially in the third one. Now, it is true that you can say that when a pastor preaches on a scriptural text and correctly explicates it and also makes proper applications, that then he has a word from God to his audience. However, if a pastor, believing that he represents God as a prophet and makes pronouncement about political issues and also will speak about teachings which are contrary to the Bible, then surely under no circumstances can that be considered to be a revelation from God. In fact, it's anything but that. And so when you get down to it, you and I are bound to the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Now, there are certain interesting likenesses between us and the Old Testament prophets. As you heard from the reading in Ezekiel and also from the reading in Jeremiah, God expects his servants to be faithful to that which he has delivered them. In the case of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the personal revelations which he had given them, whether by means of dream or word or whatever means he used. And so you and I are to be faithful to the teachings as they are found in God's inscripturated final revelation to mankind. Now, the temptation, of course, for both Ezekiel and Jeremiah was that inasmuch as they were unpopular, inasmuch as they were castigating the people for their sins and were even hated, and Jeremiah, we know, was definitely persecuted, that one would adjust his message to meet the popular views and the popular demands of people. Now, the pastor is supposed to preach the entire will of God. He's supposed to set forth correctly and properly law and gospel. He is to set forth the biblical ethics, which, of course, today, as you know, runs counter to much of our ethics and our views about ethical issues as they are found today. And there could be the temptation for a pastor to either be silent or to adjust his message so that he will be popular and that he will not get in trouble with the people. We have the assurance of God that if we are faithful to him as his ambassadors, as speakers for him, that he is going to protect us. The other day, I listened to a program on radio, which was called the Barnabas Program. And the man who so-called headed this program spoke, and the Barnabas Program is supposed to be a program designed to help preachers, pastors, who are suffering from burnout. And they claim that we are living in an age in which many pastors and priests are suffering from that disease. Well, I think one way in which one can counteract this is to, of course, realize that a high responsibility and a great privilege has been given to us, because you and I can proclaim the words of healing, the words of salvation. We can prepare people for a happy eternity. And if we remember the greatness of our office, and also the text that heads this week, he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me, and he that despises me, despises him that sent me. Amen.